pray now that you will help us to stand firm in the faith to which you have called us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. Well, a service of confirmation is an important moment in the life, of course, of these three candidates. Today, Lexi and Blake and Liam, you will commit yourselves to following Jesus day by day in your families, in your community, at work and at school. You will confirm your faith in Jesus and say a big yes, if you like, to God. But even more importantly, God says an even bigger yes to you. God has called you to follow him, your beloved children of God. We will pray that you will be confirmed, strengthened in that call as disciples, followers of Jesus. Of course, it's a great day for the rest of us too, for friends and family, for your brothers and sisters in Christ here at Holy Trinity, who've come to support you on your Christian journey. And let me say that you three are a gift. You are a sign of how God is at work in the lives of his people. You're an encouragement to me in testing times and to the church here. God is at work. So I'd like us to think this morning, along with Lexi and Blake and Liam, about just where we can expect to see God at work. Where can I hear God's call on my life? Where can I serve God? And I want us to look at our gospel reading, the story of a miraculous catch of fish, and think about where we might meet with God. Now, if I were to ask you, where are you most likely to meet with God? Where would you choose? Where would you most likely meet with? Perhaps you can just tell the person next to you where you think you're most likely to meet or encounter or sense God's presence. Where might that be? Someone's mentioned church. Where else might you expect to encounter God? Nature. Nature, the natural world. Yeah, those are good examples. You may well encounter God, I hope, in worship. I hope you do meet God when you come to worship him here, either alone, sometimes just quietly by yourself, or when you meet up with God's people. It's very important for us as Christians to find the time where we offer to God our prayer and our worship, hear his word, sharing gifts of bread and wine. And candidates for confirmation, I hope that you will get into the habit of coming to worship God with God's people, finding times in the day when you can be with him. And of course, yes, to find God in special places, like a church or a cathedral. We certainly can find God in these wonderful buildings, where people have prayed for years and even centuries in some cases. We can find God in the peace of a church building. And as someone has just said, I often hear people say they feel very close to God in nature, on top of a mountain, or in a garden, or on a favourite walk. And certainly God is the creator of all things, and he gives us the whole world as a sign of his love. I find it good to pray on my morning walk with the dog along the canal. In God's creation, we can expect to meet the Creator. Ways and places to meet God. In a special building, at special times of worship, in a special place of beauty. In all these places, we can hear God and hear him speaking to us. But when I read the gospel story for this morning, I notice that God's call comes not in a church or in a garden or at a service of worship. Now, the first disciples meet God in the person of Jesus in their community, amidst their family, and at their place of work. Jesus calls them in the place where they live. Now, people go on pilgrimage now to the Holy Land. It's a tourist destination. But for these fishermen, the towns and villages along the shores of Lake Galilee, they're not places for tourists. It's where they live. It's where their home was. And here is where they meet Jesus, among familiar places and familiar faces. So the first thing I want to suggest to you is that you can expect to meet with God in the place where you live. So yes, God meets us here in Chesterton or wherever else you're from, in these homes, streets and shops and schools. Here God wants to see us to see God, him at work. Jesus called his first disciples by Lake Galilee. Jesus calls you in St. 5, or in my case, St. 12, which is just as well, because this is where we live. God calls you to follow him in this neighborhood and this community. God calls you to serve this community and its people. And if we look carefully and prayerfully, we can see God at work here and now. This is where God has called you to meet with him and live out your Christian life. And the story of this call of those first disciples also reminds us that God calls to us as those who belong to families. Now, there are two sets of brothers mentioned in that gospel story: Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and James and John, sons of Zebedee, brothers and fathers, and no doubt sisters and mothers. Fishing was the family business. In Jesus, God calls Simon and Andrew and James and John to follow him in the midst of their family life. In Jesus, God calls you to follow him in the midst of your family life. And that, incidentally, is families of all kinds. Tiny families with only a few members, and sprawling families with thousands of cousins and uncles and aunts. Families at peace and families at war. These disciples heard God's call whilst part of families, and sometimes the call meant they had to leave their family to follow Jesus. Sometimes they remained and followed Jesus as part of their family. In any case, they never stopped being someone's brother or sister or son or daughter. So what does it mean for us to hear God's call as part of a family? How do we share the good news of Jesus Christ with our families? What difference does it make to be a Christian in our families? How do we serve and pray for our families? The family business was, of course, fishing. These first disciples encounter God in Jesus not in a church, but in their workplace. They've had a bad night's fishing, we're told. I imagine most anglers have been there. There's their failure to catch any fish. It's more than disappointing, because it's their livelihood. If they don't catch the fish to sell, they and their families will have no money. They'll go hungry. And yet it is here, their place of work, that they encounter the wonder and the mercy of God. On Jesus' instructions, and they must have been thinking, what does he know? He's a carpenter. Anyway, on Jesus' instructions, they cast out their nets and they catch a ridiculous amount of fish, so many they're in danger of capsizing. And they realize that's not just good luck, but it's divine intervention. Who is this man? And Simon Peter knows he's in the presence of the holy. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. The disciples know they have met with God, and they are awestruck. But here's the thing. These fishermen, are not having a wonderful spiritual moment. They're not in a church with the best worship band or cathedral choir ever. They're mending their nets. They're sweating away, trying to get their boats up onto shore. They're trying to make a living. They meet Jesus at work. And we too can meet Jesus in the workplace, in our school, where we volunteer, when we're looking after our grandchildren. Whatever we find ourselves doing at work, we can meet with God, hear his call to follow him. The call from Jesus to these first disciples meant that many of them left their home and family and work to follow Jesus. Some of them returned following his death and resurrection, but in each case, lives were changed. But in each case, they met God in their communities, amongst their families, and in their places of work. And of course we can meet God, and I pray that we do, in wonderful services like this, in a wonderful church like this. But actually, God is to be found most often in the ordinary, everyday moments of our lives, which is just as well, because that's where we spend 95% of our time. God meets us and calls us when we are at home. God meets us and calls us when we are with family and friends. God calls us and meets us when we are at work, when we are out shopping. We can expect God to speak to us here. So Lexi, Blake and Liam, God has called you by name and made you his own. I don't know your story. I don't know what it's like to be you in the place where you live, at school, at work, in the community. But God does. And I do know that God will be with you in those places and that you can meet him there. And that is where you will hear God's call to you. So perhaps you can think about what you're going to be doing this time tomorrow. So it's just after 11 o'clock now. What are you going to be doing 11 o'clock tomorrow? What lesson is it, Lexi? RE. Blake, you'll be at work. Sorry, Blake. Liam, Blake and Liam. It's Liam, that's Liam, that's Blake. You'll be at work. What about the rest of you? Where are you going to be? Well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing this time tomorrow, my prayer for you is that you'll be open to the call of God on your life at that moment in that place. I pray that the Spirit will lead, guide, and strengthen you to live for Jesus here. Here, in your home, at your school, in your workplace, and your community. Amen.